Dear Cheap Astronomy, what are closed ecological life support systems? A recent Cheap Astronomy episode covered the need for sustainable life support systems in very long duration space missions where resupplies aren't really an option. The basic principle of a closed ecological life support system is to recycle everything, which is straightforward in principle, insofar as water and carbon dioxide can be turned into carbohydrates and oxygen by photosynthesis, and then carbohydrates and oxygen can feed a metabolizing organism, which then produces water and carbon dioxide as waste products. Things get more complicated when you add more chemistry needed to build proteins and fats, as well as carbohydrates, but then it can be conceptualized as one organism composed of carbohydrates, proteins, and fats getting eaten by another organism to build up its own body of carbohydrates, proteins, and fats, and ultimately its waste products return to the soil, feeding worms, and ultimately fertilizing the plants that underlie the whole ecosystem. So all you really need is an input of energy and the raw materials that get recycled. Currently, we do have water recycling on the International Space Station, and we are growing some plants up there too. Not enough plants to absorb all the crew's exhaled CO2, but that's just an issue of scaling. To make it work, both the water recycling and the plants need energy, which is generated from the ISS's solar panels, which will power the grow lights and the water recycling units. But to take all this to the extreme of a generational starship that's on a 1,000-year journey between stellar systems, you not only need the energy and the raw materials, you also need meticulous planning. Well, of course, the very first thing you need is a 1,000-year duration energy source on board, since there will be minimal starlight available across the void between star systems. That is a pretty big thing to just assume, but for the sake of this episode, let's just do a bit of hand-waving and assume we do have unlimited energy for the grow lights and the recycling machines. From there, you could build a closed ecosystem based on crop plants in greenhouses, although you would also need to go down the genetic modification route, ensuring you have plants that deliver high yields and with added genes, so those plants can also make all the vitamins we need. To get more protein and more dietary diversity, you could add a fish farm, where you convert different organic waste products into fish food. Or if you have volume restrictions, you could have an insect farm instead, where, for example, freeze-dried crickets can apparently make a very good protein-rich flour. And if your volume is really limited, you could just grow algae and fungi, where the algae would use grow lights and fertilizer, and the fungi would grow on other organic waste, and from all that you could get a food product that's something like Soylent Green. And yes, it would be people. Wherever we've said fertilizer and organic waste in the previous narrative, we are including people, that is, ripe old aged and assisted dying people. So, that all sounds feasible, but running a genuine closed ecological life support system that has to operate over a millennia with no chance of resupply, you really have to work hard to keep all the nutrients cycling through the system, and you have to maintain a very fine balance of inputs and outputs. So, not only do dead people need to be recycled, but no one can have a child until someone else dies, or you risk running out of food. Alternatively, if you have a number of deaths all at once, you may have to lose some plants because there's not enough CO2 being exhaled to keep the plants going. And of course, when you lose a few plants, there's less oxygen being produced. So it works out that you can't necessarily have more kids later on to compensate for a run of sudden deaths, because the whole ecosystem would have shrunk in the interim period. You might manage to get around all that by having stored oxygen and CO2, and perhaps stored seeds and frozen embryos. But it does seem likely there will be an entropy-related inevitability in seeing the capacity of your closed system declining over time because the perfect balance you need can't be maintained indefinitely. So it's likely that in the absence of new inputs, a closed ecosystem will inevitably shrink, which is a frightening prospect for a population of people locked in a spaceship on a 1,000-year-long journey. The solution? Think twice about doing it, and maybe just send the robots.